The call went to the white van, parked a mile and a half from Trumbull on a gravel road sometimes maintained by the county. The road was next to a hayfield, farmed by a man they'd yet to meet. The property line for the acreage owned by the federal government was a quarter of a mile away, but from where the van was sitting, there was no sign of a prison. Only two technicians were in the van, one fully asleep in the front seat, the other half asleep in the back with a headset on. When Argo pressed the send button on his fancy little gadget, the receiver in the van was activated and both men came to life. "Hello," he said. "This is Argo." "Yes, Argo, Chevy One here, go ahead," said the technician in the back. "I'm near the Three Stooges, going through the motions, supposedly making calls to friends on the outside to verify the existence of their account offshore. So far, things are progressing even faster than I'd hoped." "Sounds like it. Roger, I'll check in later." He pushed the end button, but kept the phone at his head and appeared to be deep in conversation. He sat on the edge of the table, then he walked around some, glancing occasionally at the brethren and beyond. Spicer couldn't help but sneak a look through the window of the door. "He's making calls," he said excitedly. "What do you expect him to be doing?" asked Yarber, who was actually reading recent court decisions. "Relax, Joe Roy," Beach said. "The money disappeared with Trevor." 20 minutes passed, and things became dull as usual. While Argo worked the phones, the judges killed time, waiting at first, then returning to more pressing business. It had been 6 days since Buster had left with their letter. No word from Buster meant he'd walked away clean, dropped off the note to Mr. Conyers, and was now somewhere far away. Give it 3 days to travel to Chevy Chase, and the way they had it figured, Mr. Aaron Lake should now be scrambling with a plan to deal with them. Prison had taught them patience. Only one deadline worried them. Lake had the nomination, which meant he would be vulnerable to their blackmail until November. If he won, they would have 4 years in which to torment him. But if he lost, he would fade quickly away, like all the losers. "Where's Dukakis now?" Beach had asked. They had no plans to wait until November. Patience was one thing, release was another. Lake was their one fleeting opportunity to walk away with enough money to coast forever. They intended to give it a week, then write another letter to Mr. Al Conyers and Chevy Chase. They weren't sure how to smuggle it out, but they would think of something. Link, the guard up front whom Trevor had been bribing for months, was their first prospect. Argro's phone presented an option. "If he'll let us use it," Spicer said, "then we can call Lake. Call his campaign office, his congressional office, call every damn number we can get from directory assistance. Leave the message that Ricky in rehab really needs to see Mr. Lake. That'll scare the hell out of him. But Argo will have a record of our calls, or at least his brother will," Yarber said. "So? We'll pay him for the calls, and so what if they know we're trying to call Aaron Lake? Right now, half the country is trying to call him. Argo won't have a clue why we're doing it." A brilliant idea, one they pondered for a long time. Ricky in rehab would make the calls and leave the messages. Spicer and Trumbull could do the same. Poor Lake would get hounded. Poor Lake. The man had money pouring in so fast he couldn't count it. After an hour, Argo emerged from the chamber and announced he was making progress. "I need to wait an hour, then make a few more calls," he said. "What about lunch?" They were anxious to continue their discussion, and they did so over Sloppy Joe's and coleslaw.